Well, welcome to Minnesota Reads on Northland Morning. So I went online to my sources, capital S, and I'm looking through the books and I'm trying to find something really good and really kind of creepy for the week leading up to Halloween. And I find this book called Vampirotuthis Infernalis. And it was written by Willem Flusser and Louis Beck, and I'm probably mangling the names of their authors. The translator has a Minnesota connection. So I said to myself, Vampire Squid from Hell, Minnesota translator, we've got a Minnesota Reads going right here. Val Pacus joins us on the phone this morning. Hi, Val.
Hi, good morning. Thanks for having me.
And thanks so much for joining us. You know, we've not had a translator on the show before. We've had authors, but it strikes me that being a translator has to be really, really difficult in a lot of ways because, well, there aren't, for one thing, there aren't words for everything. There are words for things in French that we don't have in English, and vice versa. So how do you go about trying to capture the spirit of what an author intends as you have to translate something?
Well, I guess that's the fundamental question. Everything's translatable at some point or at some level, I think. And when things are not, sometimes you can just leave words in the original language along with some sort of parenthetical explanation. I mean, you mentioned spirits of a text, for instance, and there's the classic German example of Geist, which is mind, spirits, or intellect. But it can mean all of those things. So often in English translations, the word will simply be left as Geist. And that's how we get around it. And everyone seems to know, within certain philosophical contexts, what it might mean.
And that, of course, is, you know, one hopes that a reader is educated enough that they can draw some conclusions about the words from the context.
Well, yeah, it all depends on the book. You have to assume a certain sort of audience for a certain type of book. If you're writing or translating something for a more popular audience, then you have to wiggle around things, I suppose. But for academic texts, you can make certain presuppositions.
So, did you find out, and I'm going to be quoting from the book's blurb here a little bit, did you find out before you accepted this job that this book about the vampire squid from hell was, quote, part scientific treatise, part spoof, part philosophical discourse, and part fable? Or was that something you just kind of discovered as you were in the middle of it?
Well, you know, I was not contracted to translate this book. It's a funny story. There's a great, a rather brilliant scholar in Vancouver named Jeffrey Winthrop Young, and he's probably the foremost expert in so-called German media theory. And one day I was reading through some of his work, and he cited this strange book called Vampirotuthis Infernalis, and I saw the title. I thought, what is that? And so I checked out the book, and I read it, and I thought, this is crazy. And then I noticed that it had not been translated, so I said, this has to be translated. So I did it for fun, in fact. So I translated the book.
If I were clever enough to translate, this is definitely one I would have picked to translate for fun.
Oh, it was quite a discovery on my part. It's amazing. So I finished it in the winter of 2009, and, you know, I acquired the rights or asked about them, and I pitched it to a couple of presses. The University of Minnesota Press supports the work of Willem Flusser very well, so they eventually accepted it. So it was a big process. So when I saw the title, I had no idea what was going on. That's what was so intriguing. And then I read it and thought, this is the craziest book I've ever read. It has to be translated. And that's how that happened.
Now, weirdly enough, earlier this week, on the 92nd Naturalist, which is a little feature that we air at 6:08, Monday through Thursday, who does Thane Maynard decide to talk about but the vampire squid from hell? So I don't know, because I didn't have time to read the entire book, although I did get a copy of it. I didn't have a chance to read the entire book, but I just wanted to bounce this off you and see if you were probably aware that vampire squid eat, quote, marine snow.
Yes.
But did you know that while most female squid and octopuses have just one reproductive cycle before they die, vampire squid go through dozens of egg-making cycles in their lifetime?
Yes.
You did.
There's a portion of the book devoted to the, I guess we could call it the sex life of the squid. I don't know into how much detail we can go into on the radio.
Let me just ask you to be on the safe side. Is this a book that, you know, I mean, is this like a PG-13 kind of rating when their children flock to bookstores now looking for this book? Should parents be concerned, or is it going to be basically acceptable for young readers?
The book is not acceptable for young readers, but not because it's in any way inappropriate. It's just, it's a philosophical text. So it's not exactly a comic book or a children's book. That's why it's unacceptable. If there are some precocious children out there who are interested in sort of Heideggerian phenomenology and vampire squids, then go for it.
You know that there are a couple of eight-year-olds out there perking up their ears and going, Mom, this is the book I've been waiting for my whole life.
Well, you know, in a way, it might work because Flusser has a very nice style. He's very readable. It's sort of, he's half philosopher, half journalist. He doesn't really fit into the typical German academic mold. Meaning his style is approachable. So it's a very readable book. It's an enjoyable read.
Well, Val, thank you so much for joining us this morning, and thank you for being our very first translator to be a guest on Minnesota Reads here on Northland Morning.
Oh, my pleasure. Thank you.
Val Pacus translated the book Vampirotuthis Infernalis. Another first, a book we feature whose title I cannot pronounce. And he joined us this morning as our guest on Northland Morning. Minnesota Reads, produced at KUMD with funding provided in part by the Minnesota Arts and Cultural Heritage Fund.